Psalm 33, verse 12. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance. Let's read that together now, please. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance. Father, we thank you so much for being a God that cares, a God that looks after us, that protects us. Oh God, we need you. We need your help. Father, I know our pastor has a message on his heart, and I don't want to pray anything that would get into that message, but our country is needy. For our country to be helped, it's going to start right here in this room. So help us hear what you have for us individually today. Please help us. And Father, if there's somebody in this room that does not know Jesus Christ as their Savior, I pray before they leave this room, they would settle it today. Now, Father, for all this to be effective and accomplish your will, we need you to anoint our pastor, touch his body, and fill him with thy Holy Spirit power. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. You may be seated.
As you're being seated again, we will ask that you turn your cell phone off or to vibrate for a moment to give us some peace and quiet and listen very carefully. Now, folks, look at you, Pastor, this morning. Look at me. This is close to political as I ever get from the pulpit of this church. But I want you to listen very carefully today. This week, five lawyers in black dresses decided to declare that homosexual marriage is to be required in every state in our union. I was not surprised by the news. I was not surprised by the celebration and celebrations that have taken place since then. A little disappointed to see the rainbow colors on the White House. Ten years ago, the vast majority of Americans believed that marriage was between a man and a woman. Just 10 years ago. Now, 10 years later, the vast majority of Americans believe that anybody who wants to get married should get married. I want you to hear your pastor this morning. Look at me. This is not about being against gay marriage. Now, I want to be very clear about something. I don't think they should get married. And it's not marriage. I don't care who makes it legal. But what we believe is this, that God instituted marriage. And he instituted it to be a man and a woman. And our support is for marriage to be left alone as God gave it to us. And not to redefine it. But five lawyers in black dresses decided they're going to redefine marriage. Now the United States of America has joined other nations who declare that under the term of equality and love. By the way, they didn't just say anyone who wants to get married could get married. They said homosexuals can do this. Two men, two women. They didn't open it to polygamists, where one man wanted to marry 12 women, or one woman wants to marry 12 guys. They didn't open it to that. They will have to eventually under the terms of love and equality. I read all 27 pages of Chief Justice Roberts' dissension on the decision yesterday. I read all 27 pages of his dissension. Very common sense. There are three lesbians in New York City who are raising one child, and they want to marry each other so they can be the mother, father for that child. There's no way to stop that now. They call it a throuple instead of a couple. The majority of the Supreme Court of the United States have opened Pandora's box in America. And now, marriage means nothing anymore. It's just for everybody. It's for nobody now. Because it means nothing. The Chief Justice Roberts said, that means if it's on terms of love and equality, then anybody who says they love anybody or anything now has the right to marry anybody or anything. And you can't stop it. Five lawyers in black dresses decided that they knew better than God. I want to say this. I want you to hear this, Pastor, very carefully this morning. This is not about hating anyone. I'm not mad at anybody. I'm not real happy with the Supreme Court, but frankly, after the vote on Obamacare, what difference does it make? But it seems to me that our Supreme Court of the United States of America has forgotten this is a republic, and states have their rights, and they just took it away from us. A state does not have a right to decide about this now. Five lawyers in black dresses have decided whether or not they're going to do what they do. The dissension by Roberts was right on key, right on target. No longer do states have their rights now. You don't have a right to do what you want in your own state. You don't have a right to vote and say what you want to say if five lawyers in black dresses decide against that. That's a disappointing thing. They do not understand they are destroying the democracy of this nation. So, Pastor, I assume you're somewhat disappointed. No, I'm not somewhat disappointed. I am grieved at my heart. You do understand the great Greek Empire embraced homosexuality in that nation as a part of their culture. They actually had in their culture, they wanted their soldiers to be homosexual with each other in combat and in battle situations because they felt like they would defend each other better as lovers than as soldiers. They encouraged homosexuality. They never agreed to homosexual marriages. We are actually worse than the Greek Empire. We have taken a step that they didn't even, as far as we know, they didn't even allow it in Sodom and Gomorrah. They had roving bands of homosexuals going around looking for victims. But nothing in the Bible indicates they approved gay marriage in Sodom and Gomorrah. We've gone further than they have. And the most powerful institution in the United States of America has made this come to pass. You mean the Supreme Court, Pastor Johnson? No, the media. That liberal media that we always decry and say they're so against what we believe. They have turned the minds of this country away from common sense and rationality by promoting the modern family. But some of you folks, you sit there and you watch that junk on television, promoting the fact that, you know, less than 2% of America's population is homosexual. That doesn't mean they don't have rights. It just means less than 2% of them are homosexual. About 1.5% of the population of the United States of America are practicing homosexuals. But you wouldn't think that if you watch the media. News, television programs, anything they present, they make it look like everybody's got somebody in their family, everything's homosexual. It's all just pervasive throughout our society. When in reality of 330 plus million people in America, ladies and gentlemen, there are not that many in this country. They're just vocal. They're backed by a liberal media, and they've got the power of Hollywood and money behind them. And the sad thing is, look at this preacher this morning. Some of you, they've changed your mind about it. Statistics of Christian young people today in America between the ages of 20 and 35 are disgusting to see how many of them have no problem with gay marriage. Don't think there's anything wrong with it. Think it's just a matter of who you love. Well, then if you love your parakeet, you can go marry your parakeet now. Because you say, well, Pastor Johnson, that's ridiculous. 30 years ago, the Supreme Court passed a law that it was illegal to be a homosexual. You committed a criminal act by committing homosexuality. 30 years ago. Now, that's not that long ago if you think about it. The thing that disgusts me the most about it is they've taken away our rights to voice our opinion and to say what we want where we live. That's not America. Now they're saying America is free because they vote. No, it's not free now. And I'll say this also, I want to get to the subject of the message this morning carefully. Listen to me. If you don't think they're going to come after churches and make us agree to this, you're out of your mind. Now they put it in their statement. Kennedy, the judge who wrote the brief about it, he put it in there specifically. Religious organizations, churches, institutions, etc., still have the right. I'm so glad he honored the First Amendment. Still have the right to say what they want to say about gay marriage or about homosexual marriage or about homosexuality. They can still voice their opinion and say that they don't agree with that. I'm so glad he gave us permission to do what the framers of the Constitution have already given us permission to do. I don't need that jerk to tell me what I can do or what I can't do. And I'm going to tell you something else too this morning. I ask God not to get upset, but I may lose it for just a moment. Here's the thing. I don't need a lawyer, a judge to tell me what I believe and where I stand. I live in the United States of America. I live under the authority of the Word of God and the Constitution of the United States. And they are not going to tell me what I believe or what I don't believe and what I preach or what I don't preach. And if they want to come and arrest me, then they can come and arrest me, because I'd rather go to jail as a patriot who stands up for his country than a compromising coward who just buckles under, like Mr. Osteen down here in L.A. Les, like Mr. Whistlebritches over here in Saddleback Sam. What's that punk's name? What's the guy's name? Purpose-driven church. Warn, like these guys are doing. Now they're all knuckling under to the popularity of society. We're not going that route in here. We're not going to get politically correct, and we're not going that route. We don't hate anybody. Am I clear about that? I'm not homophobic. I am not. Homophobo, that means you are fearing a man or you hate men. I'm not afraid of any of them, and I don't hate anybody. I don't. There's not a bone in my body that hates any person on this planet, and that is the God's truth of my life. But they are literally gutting my country. They're just tearing it apart under the guise of love, liberty, and freedoms. Well, where is my liberty and where is my freedom? They're already flooding the courts with divorce positions. How do you do this? You let three women decide they're going to be the parent of one child. How do you decide that when they split up? Because they do. They don't make it. They'll trot a couple out there that's been together for 50 years. But by and large, the average homosexual relationship lasts 6 months. 6 months. They don't tell you that part of it. Now what are we going to do with it? The courts in California are backlogged and flooded with those they allowed to get married who are already getting divorces. Now what about property rights? What about issues? What about children now? Roberts in his dissension was very clear. He said the truth is every major civilization in the history of mankind has declared that marriage is between a man and a woman. And he brought it down to the even most simplest terms, the term of procreation, because it takes a man and it takes a woman to have a child. So if they're going to do that and they're going to declare that as a marriage and as a family, then don't let them adopt children. Let them have their own kids. Let two lesbians figure out how to have a child. Let two guys figure out how to have a child. Then let them raise their own children. See, they have to come to heterosexuals to get the children that they want to raise. And I'm not saying because they're perverts. And please don't think I'm that stupid. All I'm saying is God had enough sense to figure out how it works, friend. It takes the seed of man and the seed of woman to make a child. And they got to get ours to have theirs and then declare it a family. That stinks. Okay, I already lost it. I'm sorry. I apologize. But it's been shoved down my throat so much I don't want to take it anymore. And I'm not here to declare war on anything. But what does this mean now? America has changed a course of direction. And what does that mean? It means, first of all, that some have chosen man's way over God's way. Doesn't take a rocket scientist or a theologian to figure out God instituted marriage. God formed man from the dust of the earth, breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. Man became a living soul. Then one day God caused him to fall to a deep sleep. He took a rib from that man and he made a woman. And he brought her unto him. And God, in the Garden of Eden, performed the first marriage ceremony. And he put a man and a woman together. And that's the way God intended it from the very beginning. It doesn't take any great steps of theology to figure out that God made man and God made woman. And he made man for a woman and a woman for a man. That's the way it's intended. And that's what marriage was. The Bible says in Hebrews, the marriage is honorable in all and bed undefiled. God didn't have to define marriage because he'd already defined it in the book of Genesis. He defined it throughout the history of the Word of God and throughout the history of mankind. He put that very simply upon people. And God has created marriage to be between a man and a woman. And that is all. That's what we want. Just leave it alone. Call whatever you want to call that other stuff, whatever you want to call that other stuff. Call it whatever you want to call it. Call it civil unions. Call it anything else. Call it anything. But leave marriage alone, because that's God's way. God likens his relationship to his people Israel as a husband and wife relationship. When they got backslidden, he divorced them, the Bible said. He said, I'm not going to have anything to do with you anymore. You're like a stubborn, rebellious wife, he said. That's what he spoke of his people. God was the husband. Israel was his wife. God likens his children today, God's children, born again children today, as a relationship of husband and wife. He likens that in the Bible. One day Jesus returns, we go to heaven. Then there's the marriage supper of the Lamb. And the bridegroom hath made herself ready, for the bride, the groom is coming to claim him. That God likens his relationship to his children that way. God likens his church that way. The husband-wife relationship. He put a stamp on it in creation. He put a stamp on it in history. He put a stamp on it in his relationship with his children Israel. He put a stamp upon his relationship with his children in the New Testament age. He put a stamp upon his relationship with his church, that it's a man and it's a woman. Now that is God's way. Man has decided that is not the way it's going to be. We're going to go man's way instead of God's way. This thing about this equality of marriage and gay marriage situation, it's not about people having what they want. It's about people telling us what we should believe. Choosing man's way over God's way is not new. Religions have been doing it for centuries. God's way of salvation is through Jesus Christ and the shed blood of Christ, period. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. God designed it that we come to God through Jesus Christ or we don't come. The picture was there in Eden's fall when God shed the blood of an innocent animal and covered Adam and Eve. The blood was shed. Their covering was came from God. It pictured salvation. God pictured it in the ark when he told Noah to build an ark, and it had three stories in it. And then after the great flood was to come, God called Noah inside the ark. And then God sealed him in the ark, and the ark was made of wood, a picture of Christ's humanity. The three floors, Father, Son, Holy Spirit manifest in him. And that salvation and deliverance was coming into the ark, trusting God to deliver them. That was a picture of salvation. Down through the history, God has pictured and shown us that salvation comes from God to man through the blood of the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And then Christ came and died on the cross for us and paid for our sins so we might have salvation through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. For neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Jesus himself said it in John 14 and verse 6, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Salvation is through Christ alone. That is God's way. Man's religion's been doing it their way forever. Baptism, church membership, doing good, living right, obedience to their laws, etc., etc. No, there is one way of salvation, and you go God's way or you don't go. So this thing of choosing man's way over God's way, that's not new. Societies have done this for centuries now. But hear me. No nation has done what America has done this week and remained a strong nation. A friend, the old expression, they that refuse to learn from history are doomed to relive it, is about to fall on this country. No one has ever done what we've done and continued as a great nation. Well, America's so powerful a nation, that's always going to be. Ask me about the Soviet Union. World's greatest second empire that ever covered this. The second greatest empire in the world in their day, they don't even exist anymore. God smashed that heathen, godless nation to show them he's God and they're not. Man's way over God's way. I'll take God's. What does it mean? It means our nation has decided to dismiss God and his word. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 4 very quickly, please. Turn there. We're going to turn to a few scriptures today. Our nation has decided to dismiss God and his word. Nothing said in approval of this gay marriage thing or even against it. Nothing I've read so far even mentions God. Doesn't even talk about God. Doesn't even bring the word of God. Well, that's because we're a pluralistic society. No, we're still a Christian nation. Not much anymore. I never thought our president was right when he said America is not a Christian nation. I never agreed with that statement. America is a Christian nation. I do agree with this. America is not acting much like a Christian nation. America has decided we'd rather be secular than spiritual. We'd rather be pluralistic than biblical. But the truth of the matter is, everywhere you go in Washington, D.C., Scripture is chiseled on the buildings. It's even out in front of the Supreme Court of the United States of America. I wish they'd go out there and look at that for a moment. Why doesn't anybody ever say anything about God's rights? We are a God-blessed nation. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Anybody with wisdom knows America exists by the hand and the providence and the mercy and the grace and the working of Almighty God. It started back in the 1700s when we shook our fist in the world's greatest empire and fought for our liberties, and our freedoms were born and birthed on the bloody floors of Valley Forge, and God gave us liberties and freedoms. We should have never gotten our freedom, but we did. Now down to history, every time a great opposition has come against us, our nation has been able to rise up and stand up because God intervened for us. We were a blessed nation because God is the Lord. And what have we done? We've decided to dismiss God. How stupid can you get? How dumb have we become? It was Roberts, Chief Justice Roberts, who made this statement. It's powerful. After their dissension, his disagreement, he simply said this: who do we think we are to pass such a thing in this nation? He doesn't give credit to God. He deals with the procreation issue and the basic issues of history, of civilization, and everything else. But my question to you is this: who does this nation think we are? Are we so foolish that we can continue to shake our fist in the face of Almighty God and He won't do something about it? If He doesn't, He'll have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah. We've gotten ourselves in a place today where this nation has no fear of God before it anymore. I fear for my country. I love America. I love this nation. I love my beloved nation of the United States of America. I love this country. I don't want to live in any other country. I don't honor any other country as a great nation. They've all got their rights, but this is the greatest nation on this earth. But because of the Almighty God of heaven. And here's why. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 4. Look at verse number 4, please. But ye did cleave, Deuteronomy 4:4. But ye that did cleave unto the Lord your God are alive, every one of you this day. Behold, I have taught you statutes and judgment, even as the Lord my God commanded me, that ye should do so in the land whither ye go to possess it. Deuteronomy 4:6. Look at this. Keep therefore and do them. Look at this statement. For this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations, which shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. And look at verse 7. For what nation is so great, who have God so nigh unto them, as the Lord our God is in all the things that we call upon Him for? And what nation is there so great that has statutes and judgment? That's the Bible, friend. Statutes and judgment so righteous as all this law which I set before you this day. Only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart in all the days of thy life. But teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons. What are we going to tell our children? What are we going to say to them when they grow up in life? America is a great nation because we have a great God. That's why. You know, it's really sad today to think that the Muslims, these Muslim terrorists, they have reason to say America isn't a godly nation. It's not legal in any of their countries. But now it is in America. You mean to tell me we are of less moral standing than a Muslim nation who would cut the hand off of a thief, mutilate a woman because she didn't please her husband properly, and disfigure her face and make it like a heathen, bunch of heathens like that? You mean they're less heathen than we are? What? We've decided we're just going to dismiss God and His word. Again, that's not new. 1973, Roe versus Wade. We made it legal in this country to kill a child in a mother's womb under the rights of the mother and her body. Nobody has a right to tell a woman what to do with her body. Nobody. Nobody has a right to take the life of an innocent child, because that child in her womb is not her body. It's in her body. And now we live in a country today, ladies and gentlemen, where it is completely legal to take a fully grown child in the mother's womb, pull that child out, leave part of the head inside the womb, stick scissors under the skull of a live child and suck his brains out. The Nazis never thought of that. I'm going to say this morning. I want you to look at your preacher and hear me. And when they made abortion legal in 1973, it was supposed to be for the first trimester only, and it was to protect a mother whose life was in danger or conceived by incest. The idea was strictly that. And look what it has become. I say this to you this morning. They've legalized homosexual marriage in this country. Do you think it's going to stop there? Do you think it's just about them having their love and equality? If you do, then you've bought into the program. When they legalized homosexuality in the state of California, back in the 70s, it was under the terms of, we just want the privacy of our bedroom, be left alone. What we do in the privacy of our own home is our own business. It's about our privacy. That's what they said then. Is it private now? Now it's the law of the land, and we are forced to have to accept this. I refuse to accept it. I will not accept it under any terms, for any reason, under any way. But look at me. They lied then, and they're lying now. They didn't even get the stinking ruling from the Supreme Court before they started saying, this is just the beginning. We now are going for, and they're already got an agenda. They have an agenda. If you don't think they do, you're a fool. They have an agenda to tell us what we are going to believe, where we believe it, why we believe it, and whether or not we can say it's right or wrong. They're going to make us accept that. We are not going to accept it. We are not. We don't hate anybody. I'm not after anybody. I don't want you to go around saying anything unkind to anybody. That is not the issue. The issue is this. I know what I believe. I know what the Bible says, and that's why it doesn't change. American can dismiss the Bible. I'm not going to do it. Don't you do it either. Man can choose to dismiss God and His Word, but listen, God will judge that nation. Psalm 9:17 says, the wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. Somebody over there in a dress in Washington, D.C. forgot God. I believe America crossed the line with God again this week. What does it mean? It means God's people are not salty enough. Turn to Matthew chapter 5 and verse 3. If you're out of here, in here for a quick sermon out the door, you came to the wrong service, come next week. I'm sure it'll be shorter. But I want you to follow this now. I've been thinking about this a lot this week, and what does it mean for us, and what do we do? So turn to Matthew 5 and verse 13. What does it mean? That now it is required in all 50 states. Mississippi has already stated they're not going to honor that law. Not going to do it. This is a republic, ladies and gentlemen. You do understand what that means. That is a collection of independent states who maintain their rights under the authority of a central form of government. The government's job is to pave our roads, put out our fires, and fight our wars. The rest of it, leave us alone. Our framers of our Constitution, wherever they are today, heaven or hell, if their body's somewhere laying, I guarantee you they're doing flip-flops on this thing. Jefferson would have never imagined that one day the Constitution he helped to frame would be used to acknowledge and legalize such horrible, wicked sin in this nation. You know what it means to us, though? Look at Matthew 5:13. You're the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? Look at this. It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and be trodden under foot of men. Media has changed the populace today and their view of homosexuality and homosexual marriage. Media has done that. But it's not their fault. Five lawyers in black dresses have decided they're going to make it legal, but it's still not their fault. President of the United States, when he started into the election process, believed marriage is between a man and a woman. He's changed his mind. Changed his mind about a lot of things. The Bible says, meddle not with those who are given to change. His desire was to transform and change America. He has, for the worse. But it's still not his fault. It's the stinking devil, Pastor Johnson. Nope, still not his fault. This is where the message is going to get a little ugly. It's our fault. If his salt loses its savor, it is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and trodden under foot of men. They're walking on what we believe. That's because they're evil, Pastor Johnson. No, it's because we're not salty enough. Okay, now look at me. We got a worldly brand of Christianity that couldn't blow the fuzz off a peanut. We'd rather have our sin. We would rather embrace our own way of living. We have young people today who commit fornication and don't even bat an eye about it and lie to cover it. We have moms and dads who'd rather sit there and watch Modern Family and laugh at whatever. I've never seen the show, don't care to, would never watch something that filthy. Or watch stuff that advocates and promotes the homosexual agenda, and we have no issue with it whatsoever. We'd rather put our kids in a public school where they're taught about two dads and two moms. It's required curriculum in the state of California. Required curriculum. Your kids are being taught this. It's part of their agenda. It's what's being done. We'd rather do that than take a few bucks out of our cable program and out of our telephone programs and out of the rest of ourselves, put our kid in a Christian school where they're taught what the Word of God says. And not just some Christian school, that one. You say, well, you're trying to promote your school. Well, of course I am. I believe in what we do over here. See, we'd rather have our cake and eat it too. We'd rather sit back and twiddle our thumbs and watch Fox News and get all knotted up with some commentary by some bozo who doesn't even believe half of what you believe. And we'd rather listen to that and gripe about America than realize that the reason that they're doing this is because they're walking on us because we're not salty enough. Salty is only effective when it retains its salt properties. Here's what that means in simple terms. God's people need to get right. You can get it right about how we live and what we do and what we don't do. See, that's the issue. The issue isn't what they do in Washington. The issue wasn't what five lawyers did in black dresses. The issue isn't what goes on in the White House with its rainbow colors on the White House. Now, how disgusting! That's not the issue. The issue is this. Hey, you know what the issue is? We'd rather have our sin and live like this. We'd rather blend into society than stand out. One thing's for sure. You get too much salt in something, you know it right away. For all you backslidden people who go to In-N-Out Hamburger, you can't eat those French fries without salt on them. You might as well eat your shoelaces. You got to get enough salt and ketchup on those things to choke them down. If they ever get semi-cool, might as well throw them out. They're gone. That's why you don't go to In-N-Out. How many times do I have to preach the Bible to you? The truth of the matter is, ladies and gentlemen, it's amazing. You put too much salt in something, you know it, don't you? Don't you? Don't you? Because it flavors everything. Ye are the salt of the earth. See, we got too many secret Christians. Got too many Christians that sit around and do nothing. In election time, they don't even vote. They have no. They go to their job and they make no difference where they work. Their place where, I'm not talking about going in there with one of the big Catholic Bibles with a hippie Jesus on it, walk into work, start beating people over the head with it. I'm not talking about that. I'm just saying simply this. Our society, our nation, our place, our neighborhoods, our workplaces, our lives in this city, right here, where we live, should be better because we're here. But no, we want to blend in. Summertime comes, we want to run around without any clothes on. Say, like, we listen to their music. We go to their movies. We do all their stuff. We do everything that they do. And then we wonder why we don't make a difference. Because we're just like them. Excuse me. Something needs to be done. See, what this means to us is this. We're not salty enough. We're not preserving this nation enough. We're electing people in office who put lawyers in benches who make laws. The Supreme Court is supposed to uphold the Constitution, not interpret it. They're not supposed to be constitutional lawyers who go in there and say, well, this is what I think the Constitution says. I've read it. Have you? It's very simple. What a perfect, pure little document. Righteousness exalted the nation, but is seen as a reproach to any people. We got to do our job. We got to live our lives before God. Stop fearing what man will think, say, or do. And stand up for Jesus. You know what this means? It means our hope and confidence has not changed. No, it hasn't changed at all. If your hope's in your government, A, you're a fool, and B, you're in trouble this morning, aren't you? What's happened to America where our answer is our government? The government has to fix everything. There's a problem? Ask the government. There's an issue? Ask the government. What are our politicians going to do for us? We're in an election year now. We want all these politicians running around America tell us all this stuff that they're never going to do. I don't want my government to fix anything except one thing. Leave me alone. Just leave me alone. I'm a moral, decent man. I'm not going to hurt anybody. I'm going to do what God told me to do with my life. I don't want my government to fix anything. I don't want them to give me health care. I don't want them to provide for my needs. I don't want them to have the answers when I need an answer, because I already got an answer. I hold it in my hand, the eternal word of God. Hebrews chapter 6 says, "Who is as an anchor for the soul, steadfast and sure." Nothing changed about Mike Johnson this week. Nothing. Nothing changed when the Supreme Court said it's legal. Nothing changed. The Bible is still true. God is still right. I know where I'm going. I know who is my God, who is the authority of my life. I know where I'm going when I die. I know what's going to happen to me in this life. You say, you know? Yes, I know this. In the will of God is the way of God, is the work of God, and God will take care of this preacher. And he's been taking care of you pretty good too up till now. You know, so my hope and confidence hasn't changed. I'm not going to walk around with my head down. That's not us. If your hope is in man to have sense, you kind of figure out that's a worthless hope, yes? But see, my hope has always been in God. Is there still hope for America? After this week, I sort of shake my head and wonder a bit. I'll tell you what I'm going to do, and I'll tell you what you need to do. Live right. Do right. I don't care what anybody else does. You do right. And you beg God for mercy for America. I love the song, "God Bless America." But I have a hard time asking him to bless us anymore. Now I beg for mercy. Oh God of heaven, mercy. We cry out to God for mercy. God, we're going to have mercy. Some of us, we're down to the end of the run of our race in this life. Listen to me, but your kids are not, and your grandchildren are not. And if Jesus doesn't come soon, that means they're going to grow up in a nation, this nation, who's headed the direction it's headed. We better beg him for mercy. We better beg God for mercy to move on people's hearts and lives, to give us a little more light and a little more time to get our job done, to do what we are supposed to be doing. You see now how critical your home and family is? Listen now, are you married couples? Look at me. You see how critical it is, your marriage, that it be right? You see how important it is for our families to be right? You see how essential it is for our church to do its job? We're not going to get out there and rake leaves and do all the social stuff. The liberals couldn't do that. They got nothing else to do anyway. We got buses to run. We got soul winning to do. We're going to preach in the jail, the nursing home, the rescue missions. We got a work to do. We need to raise up more salt and light in this country. You see how important it is for you just to get in and do what you know the Bible tells you? Well, it's not making much difference. It is preserving what we have left. And if we give in and give up, then it is most definitely over. The word of God has not lost any power. God is still on the throne. The work of God is still effective. And the home and the church is God's answer. I'm ashamed of the Supreme Court of the United States of America. I'm ashamed of my president. I have a hard time even calling him my president, but he is the president of the United States. I'm ashamed that people stand up and rejoice that we have embraced Sodom in this nation. I'm ashamed. But I love America, and I love my country. By the grace of God, I am not despairing this morning. I have hope. Because every nation that ever turned their back on God, God dealt with them, and some of those nations were smart enough to turn to God. Maybe this is what it'll take to bring revival to America. It's not going to come from the Warrens and the Osteens. It's going to come out of Bible-believing, Bible-preaching churches and people who stand up and stand up for the Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, we're not going to be unkind to anybody. We're not going to give them any wood to throw on the fire that they say we hate them. We do not hate anyone. Is that clear? They can make that statement, but that is not true. I don't hate anybody. I don't care what their lifestyle and what they say. Saw people carrying signs in front of the Supreme Court supporting this initiative saying, now you Bible-based Christians need to shut your mouths. That's what they want. Sorry, but we're not going to do that either. But we don't hate anybody. But we are not going to stand by and twiddle our thumbs and say this is just the way it is. Let's stand our feet, please, this morning.